staff didn't dream that up. So they have used information that Urban Growth has publicly released. So city staff put that information together, because we weren't being given it explicitly, and presented it to council. And we understand the proposed average residential density for the Waterloo site is over 700 people per hectare. To put that in context, the current highest density community in the country is Pyrmont. It used to be Potts Point, it's Pyrmont now, it's 14,000 persons per square kilometre. When Green Square is completed, it'll be 22,000 persons per square kilometre. And you know that years of work have gone into Green Square in terms of getting the facilities and the planning for that. And we understand that Urban Growth's plans for densities at Waterloo are three times those of Green Square. So there's some discussion by the state and by Urban Growth about how we're describing this, and they say because it doesn't include commercial or retail, it doesn't really tell the story. And I think the best way of telling the story is in the simplest possible way, so that you can relate what they're proposing to what you can see in those areas, what you can see in Pyrmont now, and what you can see happening in Green Square. And you've seen all those plans and perspectives and newsletters that we've put out for years now to let you know what's happening at Green Square. So the density proposal for Waterloo is unprecedented in Australia. And we were very concerned that it would condemn people who are going to live in this housing to substandard living conditions, and would intensely impact our existing public domain, including our parks and streets. There would be more than 50% of winter overshadowing in parks. Surrounding residential areas and development won't meet the industry-wide guidelines for apartment design, including standards for building separation, minimum solar access, and cross-ventilation. This massively increased density will likely result in the loss of all almost existing trees in the area. If that's not bad enough, Urban Growth has identified a 560-hectare study area for the Department of Planning to rezone to increase development in the City of Sydney area. Now, we had a presentation from Urban Growth at Council just this week, and Troy from Urban Growth was going to great lengths to say, because when I last met Troy, it was with the Minister, and I just pointed out that what Urban Growth represents is the development arm of government. They're the government's developers. He said that he's very concerned about, you know, those other outcomes other than just the economic one, and that all they're doing with their 560-hectare study area, which is not inside the government-owned area, the public area, is to make proposals, which they can deliver to the Department of Planning. And then, of course, I guess we fear what the Department of Planning will do with those proposals. So what Urban Growth told us this week is that they won't plan for the area. They will just give those proposals to planning. So Urban Growth says that the driver for this overdevelopment, and that they're my words, overdevelopment, which I'm sure you probably agree with, is to enable the provision of affordable housing. And of course everyone in this hall would agree that we need more affordable housing and social housing, but this is not the way to do it. The City of Sydney is not Hong Kong with rows of tall dark towers. Cities around the world like Paris, London and Toronto build affordable housing, and they don't have these kinds of densities. In comparison, Urban Growth, it would seem, is bent on maximising financial outcomes to government. On government sites, and government sites are public land, they're our sites. You know, governments are only temporary custodians of that public land. And look at what is happening to our public land. So I believe that's what they're doing, maximising the financial outcomes for government, rather than effectively planning for the kind of city that people will want to live in and work in the future. And that's what's really concerning us. So, after the story was published in the Sydney Morning Herald, after the presentation to Council's committee, the Minister contacted me. He said he'd been and apparently he'd also been inundated by social media and calls and emails. And he suggested a meeting. So we had the meeting, and he assured me that the city's planning controls would be upheld as part of the redevelopment, and that the principles and provisions of the apartment design guide would apply, and that there wouldn't be rezoning of the surrounding conservation areas, and that new open space and community facilities would be provided. And I actually wanted him to come tonight and to say those things to you, because that's what he told me when we met. But this information of Urban Gross is still on their website, I understand. And so, you know, we've been told one thing, and we're seeing another. So, you know, tonight what we're doing is trying to share with you what we know and express our concerns about it and give you the opportunity to do the same and report back then to government. So the Minister also said that he had asked the Department of Planning and Environment to engage with the City of Sydney to agree on a collaborative governance framework to guide the planning processes for Waterloo and the wider precinct. So I guess that's the benefit of going public on our concerns. He's now said that to us. Urban Growth also wrote to me when they apologised for not coming tonight to say they wanted me to acknowledge all the consultation that they have had on their urban transformation strategy for the Central to Eveleigh programme. And I'm sure I'm going to hear from some of you about those consultations that you went to about their urban transformation strategy. I think what we're really concerned about is the sort of transformation that they're thinking about. It's perhaps not the transformation that we would like to see for our area. So the Minister's given me those assurances. I've told you about them. But at the same time, the Minister and the agencies continue to talk about the Waterloo site as being a state significant site. Now, a state significant site is meant to be a site, I understand, where there is a significant government infrastructure project like a hospital or a railway. There is no way you could describe a public housing site as a state significant site. It's a public housing site. It's part of the City of Sydney in terms of our responsibility for planning. And it shouldn't be taken from our area and be called state significant. We are very concerned that more and more development is being removed from our planning and democratic process in the city and classed as state significant. It seems to me, and it may only seem to me, but it seems to me that state significant development, as described, is another way of saying part 3A. It's another way of saying we will take these sites and we will treat them behind closed doors and plan for them differently from the rest of the area that that particular local government is looking after. So since 2012, there have been over 300 state significant development applications in our area alone. So you can see why we're so concerned about them. So why are we concerned? State significant development is assessed by the Department of Planning and it's approved by the Minister of Planning. But what concerns us is that planning no longer has the resources to deal with the complex residential projects like Central to Eveleigh. This is the work we do. You know, led by Graeme Young, who's going to present to you shortly, we have excellent staff, we do excellent work, you're involved in the process, and you know what the outcomes are going to be. But when the sites are taken out of our jurisdiction and treated differently and behind closed doors, perhaps you get an outcome that you're seeing currently at Barangaroo. So we had a New York commissioner out at a city talk recently. It was about our work we're doing on open space and parks. And he was asked if the city of New York would ever agree to the state of New York planning and approving its own developments. And his answer was no. So I guess the other thing I also want to say is that I'm really opposed to the government removing democratically elected councillors in so many areas in Sydney, and they won't get their elected body back till next September. And a lot of development can be approved in, over that period of time. I could take you on a walk around the city and show you development that was approved under administrators of the city. So we are also fundamentally opposed to planning being done behind closed doors. This week also, we have a panel at the city called the Design Advisory Panel. And that's made up of eminent practitioners, architects and landscape architects who give us advice on both private development and on public development. And they were presented with the North Eveleigh development application today, this week. North Eveleigh is going to be the first of the central to Eveleigh precincts to be developed. And Urban Growth has said it's going to be an exemplar project.
OTPs first.
I'm just telling you what Urban Growth told us this week. The site is part of an important cultural precinct. It's surrounded by heritage conservation areas and low-scale neighbourhoods, and it's next to Carriage Works and the railway line. There was an original concept approved in 2008, which I was strongly opposed to. I think this is a very special site historically and archaeologically and in terms of its cultural precinct. And that was then under by the Labor government, and that allowed 12 stories and a 3,000 square metre local park. Urban Growth is now proposing to modify this plan to include, along the railway line, buildings up to 20 stories and a 20% increase in development for floor space. We were presented with the detail of that proposal, and many of you have already made submissions on it, I would expect. But I've got to say, the Design Advisory Panel said they did not support the form and density of the development, and a member of the panel recommended that Urban Growth go back to the drawing board on it and start again. And I guess that's probably what we're going to be saying about Central to Eveleigh tonight, as you can see from what you've got on your seat. So, in fact, you've probably found that you've got a postcard on your seat. We're encouraging you to fill it in and drop it into one of the boxes in the foyer. Be sent to the minister. If you don't have one or you want more, you can get one from our staff.